Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves us. He comes to guide us into all truth. You have to give him something to work with. When we take in God's word, when we see the light of God's word in others, when we see people live the life of God, and we receive his word, or we hear it on the radio, or we love our children, anytime you're in the atmosphere of love, the Holy Spirit will take what you receive from God, what you appreciate from God, and he can enlighten you with it. And he's the one who causes us to understand God's word. Remember something. The word of God is spiritually discerned. It's not like a math book or an English book or a how-to manual. It's spiritually discerned. Now, you can read it like you read other books, but you won't see what it's trying to give you without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't have much to work with unless you desire the things of God. If you desire the things of God, you may not even completely agree with it, but if you desire what's true and what's wholesome, when you see it, you'll have an appreciation for it. And the Holy Spirit has something to work with. You know, when people live the life of God, it's attractive. When people see more light and they want more, then the Holy Spirit takes notice. And he's attracted to people who are attracted to the knowledge of God. And he come to help. Now, when people are not saved, the Lord will see that they want to know God, and the Holy Spirit will have raised up somebody to minister to them. And he'll cause them at the right moment to cross their path. The God we serve, he can see through time. And he prepare people for people. It happened to me in so many ways. There were people that I met at the right time. And they had a fresh word from the Lord. They had something I needed. The Lord prepared them. And guess what he uses? I love what Pastor McCann said. He said, the Lord don't give you problems to teach you. He said, first of all, he gave you, the Father sent Jesus, who willingly came and died in our place. But Jesus didn't leave us there. He gave us his word, the fivefold ministry. That's five types of preachers. First, apostles, prophets, evangelists, then pastors and teachers. And then he gave the gifts. He gave those, his people, gifts. Gifts is for anybody that can receive them. You don't have to be one of the fivefold ministers to receive a gift. Then there's the fruits of the Spirit. So you take the word of God, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry, and the light that we live. These are tools of the Holy Spirit. He can give you a comparison. You'll be able to see what's of God clearly and what's not of God clearly. After you've seen what is of God, then you can see what is not of God. And also, the things that are not of God causes you pain. And the things of God causes you healing. You can't forget these things. Now, the Lord meets us where we are. He knows what we're going to go through. When he sees people that has a heart to hear, ears to hear, they have ears to hear. And people who have ears to hear, they have a good heart. Only people that have a good and honest heart have ears to hear. And everybody else allowed interference in their life. They allowed it. They allow their heart to be hard. They allow their heart to be like stony ground. They don't, and then they allow the things of this world to trouble them. And they choke the word, just like the parable of the sower. Now, without a desire for what's right, it's hard to learn. But when you see other people's lives working, and you want your life to work, then if you receive the light, then you receive the desire to know the light. Now, the things of the world, they come to give you pain. They come to take away your desire for life. So, even when the Holy Spirit works, and if people have a desire for the world system, now, let's simplify it. The world system is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, according to 1 John chapter 2, around verse 15, 16, 17. He defines it for us. And when we have any worldly desire, depends on how strong it is, it starts working against your appetite for the things of God. And that's why God loves us all. What we did in our past, he can solve those problems for us. He can help us. But we have to do things God's way, or it can hurt. We can get caught up in the pain of this world. Now, the things of this world, they cause trouble. When Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, his spirit man was vexed because he had a love for God, and he had to see things he didn't like seeing. And when you're around it, you know, why do you think after he left, his wife turned back, she became a pillar of salt? We know the story. Then his daughters thought that all the men on earth were destroyed. So they got their father drunk, the oldest one first, and had a child by Lot. And then the younger sister did the same thing. And, you know, that's where the Moab and Ammon came from, you know. So this is the problem. Where did they get a notion to do such a thing? What they saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was normal. And that's what was vexing Lot's spirit. They did a lot of things. In the book of Jasher, it gives more details of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's known for homosexuality. And that was going on there too. But they also did a lot of other things. And you just have to read the book of Jasher for yourself, because we'll just keep going because of time. There's something else the Lord wants to get to. And I just quoted referred to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." See, the love of the world is at war with the love of God in you. Verse 16, "For all that is in the world," now verse 16 is the scripture I was referring to, "for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." If it's not of the Father, guess who it is of? See, Satan holds the strings to the world system. So, now, I like what Billy Graham said once. He said, when you first start seeing it, it gets exciting. And then, because the enemy is using things that God made to get us off track, then it gets boring. And then it becomes an addiction. Or the enemy uses worldly passions to control your life. So those things give you pain. But when you have a good and honest heart, or ears to hear, and you desire the word, now the Holy Spirit can work. and he'll raise up people to bless you. This is why some ministers, they're raised up for certain audiences. Some are mature, and the Lord raised them up to be well-known, famous, on TV, radio, whatever. And some are not widely known, but they get down, they get to where the gospel don't get sometime. And God needs, not only that, if you ever spend time with the Father, you're going to learn that he's a strategist. He knows how, he knows strategy better than anyone I know. And that's what I wanted to talk about. That's why I didn't try to go and tell you all about what was in the book of Jasher. It's a valid book, just like the book of Enoch, and there are others. It's not in Bible canon, but they in the Bible, they refer to it, so it's valid. Jude referred to the book of Enoch. And there are three books, but the first book of Enoch is the valid one. It points to Christ. So Jude referred to it, and I read the scripture that they were referring to. And so nevertheless, Exodus chapter 3. The thing that the Lord had put on my heart this morning was about trust. Now, I said many times that people can believe God, have faith in God, and have trouble trusting him. I've seen so many people. I did a broadcast a few weeks ago. It was called Fig Leaves and Running Shoes. And I talked about how when God, everybody I know that God called to be an apostle, they kind of crawfished away from it. They didn't. They tried to be something else. Then you got people that want to be preeminent, and they call themselves an apostle or a bishop, but they don't really have the. They may not have really have the anointing. But all the ones that I know, they have that anointing, and it's evident. I know it when I see it. And when I talk about it, they know it too. But they wrestling with God. They got them fit. They just like Adam ran from the voice of God in the cool of the day in his fig leaf outfit. That's how people. When you have an anointing, you walk in it. Don't try to run from God. Now, what I'm about to say is going to help you make. It's going to make a lot of sense because. I thought about, when God put trust on my heart, I thought about teaching trust from another avenue. Now, I'm going to refer back to how I learned about trust. Now, this was many years ago, probably 2010, 11 or 12, somewhere in there. The Lord gave me some definitions. Now, the definitions that he gave was over the years he gave me definitions for biblical words, and one day I was studying the Word of God, and it was Mark 11. I was listening to the faith scriptures, and the Lord just spoke to me. The Word of the Lord came to me just like the prophets of old. He just spoke while I was listening to Mark 11 20 through 25, the Lord spoke and said, "Faith is a definer." I said, What? He said, "Faith is a definer." I said, "Okay." I said, and I understood what he said. He said it kind of started to surprise me. In other words, a man is not saved if he believes on Jesus. He's redefined as a child of God, a joint heir with Christ. A man on his deathbed, a sickbed, of cancer, or whatever, he believes for healing, or somebody uses their faith or the anointing and lay hands on him, an act of faith, they lay hands on him, and he gets healed miraculously of cancer. Well, he's redefined as a healed man that used to have cancer and is not going to die. And for people to redefine him, that takes time, see, because when he first get healed, he start feeling better. The color come back to his face, and he start having energy. His appetite come back. He start doing what he normally do. His strength return. Next thing you know, he's out there washing his car, going to work, cutting the grass, whatever he does. And all the people who heard that he had cancer and he was about to die, they'll come to check on him, and he'll be doing his everyday activity with a testimony. And then he's, guess what? He's redefined as a healed man of Jesus. So I continued on a few months. When I don't know how long, how much time went by, but I said, Lord, I thought about it. I said, what's your definition for trust? And is there a difference between faith and trust? I've always used them interchangeably. And in my old writings, in all my writings, I said it before, I say it again. If I happened to get it right, if I got the definitions right, it was the Holy Spirit, because I did not know until that point when the Lord told me the difference. I said, what's the definition of trust? He said, trust is reliance. I said, oh. I said, come on, Lord, make it where I can get it. He said, faith is trust before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. I said, oh, okay. And time went by. And then eventually he said, faith is a verb and trust is a noun. He said, trust doesn't do any activity. It doesn't do anything. It's reliance. You're relying on the Lord. So faith is a verb. It's action. Trust is a noun. I meditated on that a while, and I wanted to be able to explain it clearer in fewer words. So I thought about these things, you know, and I saw the need of both. See, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, they were obedient. They could obey God and not trust him. They never learned to trust him as a whole society. 10 spies went to Canaan land. 2 came back ready to go fight, Joshua and Caleb. And the rest of them were chickened out. So you can have faith in God and stall out and not trust him. God can, you know, he can raise your daughter from the dead, raise you from the dead, bless you. When you thought you didn't have a way to be blessed, he blessed you anyway. All of his word come to pass, then he can tell you to do something. And you start crawfishing. Now, this is something to understand. So I said, recently, a few years ago, I said, what's the difference between trust and believing God? And he said, trust is believing God because of the past. See, you're having faith after you've seen. And believing God is taking God at face value without the past. This is important because God told Abraham to leave his known territory, his father's house, his kindred, and his nation, to go to a land he was shown. And the Bible said that Abraham believed God, and he went. He had no, if it was based on something that happened in the past, it would have said trust, but it said believe. He believed God, and God counted it unto him as for righteousness. Now that's the word of God. That's why Jesus did the work of salvation for us. We believe it. See, we don't do any work for salvation. We just believe. And then it's because our faith in Jesus causes us. That's why when Paul said, who are you, Lord? He was changed. See, it's how it is. Jesus did all the work of salvation and healing. In healing, you don't have to do any work. You just got to believe. It's already, the work has been done. See, faith is an act. Our part is to say, Lord, from the heart. Believing Jesus from the heart purifies us instantly and immediately. Then we have to learn. See, the Lord brought us back to where Adam was, to the zero line. Adam, when he sinned, he fell below the zero line. That's how I like to put it. Because John, 1 John chapter 3, He said, whatsoever is born of God, sinneth not. You see, you take a man that's born again, and he fills his heart with the word of God. He has a relationship. He's growing from glory to glory. Well, eventually he's going to be born of God. Christ will be formed in him. Now he's way above the zero line. Adam was in, he was holy, but he was not skilled. It's one thing to be, he was equipped. But see, the thing, you have to hold on to the to what God tells you in the first place in order to get to the point where you're, where Christ is formed in you. If you stop short somewhere, you'll never know what God can do. But if you persist and continue in the things of God, Christ will be formed in you, and you'll have a reference for what is true. And you'll see what is false. You'll see the lies of the enemy that sound good for what they are. I told my children, I said, everything looks good from a certain point of view. Okay, now, trust. Getting to the point where you really, honestly, thoroughly trust God. Exodus chapter 3. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Then the Lord spoke, verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now watch this. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? See, trust has to be formed. Now watch God's response. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token to thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come into the children of Egypt, of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now watch this. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent you, has sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. I love it. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Now watch what this, all of these things happen. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that lives or sojourns in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And so when Moses began to do these things, you know the story. He believed God to the point that he did these things. Now watch what happened in Exodus chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Isn't that just like us? Isn't that just how we do, God? Now God said, he's going to be with you. Know this. Told him what was going to happen. See, God has to get us to a point of trust. The Lord said to him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And the Lord said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before. The Lord said to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now everybody in their right mind know that's not the way to take up a serpent. Okay, but the Lord said, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared to thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou take of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said to the Lord, Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, neither to this point, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou was sent. Send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak to him, and put words in his mouth, and he will be with thy mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even, he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do these signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, said to him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, in the language of Midian, or in Midian, Go return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon his ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand, and the Lord said to Moses, When thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say to Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.